Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Did Jesus Come the First Time for Peace or War?
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk with you about whether Jesus came for peace or for war. Did Jesus come for war or for peace? You know, we're getting towards the celebration of Christmas in a couple of weeks, and we want to understand the fullness of that celebration. Did Jesus come for peace or for war? Now, the reason I share that is because, number one, I want us to celebrate this celebration in all of its fullness. Secondly, I want us to know our Lord Jesus Christ all the better, that we know truly who He is. And thirdly, and very especially, I want to preach on this because as Christ is, so are you. Because you are being made into His image by the Holy Spirit. And so let's understand today, was Jesus a man of peace or was He a man of war? And are you a people of peace or are you a people of war? Let's take a look at that today and understand this all the better by the Scriptures. What can we say of that? Well, first of all, when we think of Christmas, our natural go-to answer to this question is He came for peace, obviously. And let's take a look at that for a moment, because that is most certainly true. When the angels appeared to the shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night, they said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God with a loud voice and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill to men." Or as it can be translated, "Peace on earth amongst men with whom He is well pleased." So peace is the proclamation of the angels. So say again the word peace.
Peace.
He came for peace. You know, when it was prophesied that our Lord was to come, you know this scripture well in Isaiah chapter 9, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of peace there shall be no end," says the prophet. So He came to establish peace as the Prince of Peace, and His kingship is peace. So certainly we're celebrating this rightly. Now, when Jesus was preaching, when He grew up, He spoke this way in Matthew 5, verse 9. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." That sounds pretty strong. He delights in peace, loves it when people work for peace amongst people. He also, as we know, came to bring us peace with God Almighty. "For until then we were at war with God on account of our sins. On account of our wickedness, there was a great rift and chasm between us and the Almighty. A great battle was ensuing. He came to bring peace between us and God." Amen? We read this in Colossians chapter 1. Paul says, verse 20, "Through Him, through Christ, God reconciled to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross." And so His blood brings peace between God and man, ends the warfare, sins forgiven, and we who have believed in Him have now entered into that peace. "For Jesus came and preached peace to those who are far off, to the Gentiles, and peace to those who are near, to the Jews. For through Him," says Paul, "we both have access in one Spirit to the Father." So when we say that Jesus is a man of peace, are we right? Did He come for peace? Yep. Absolutely. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas, that Jesus indeed came for peace, to bring us from God. But I want to ask the next question. Is that the whole story? Is that everything that we're celebrating at Christmas? Did Jesus, our Lord, also come for war, to wage battle? Well, the answer to that question is absolutely, just as much as he came for peace, he came for war. He is also a man of war. And this too we celebrate at Christmas. What did he come to war against? You guys are so good. We had many enemies. Enemies that were of God and of Christ. Namely, the devil. He had captured the world. Captivated us, put us under the curse of his lies. So he had to be conquered. Sin also had captivated us, for that also is an enemy of God. It rebels against God. And Jesus says, everyone who commits sin, that person also is a slave, a prisoner to sin. We also had death as our enemy, for sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death entered into the world through sin, just like an invading army, death, an evil fiend, through sin. And so death spread to all men, because all men sin. And also, who else was at war with God? Mankind, because we followed the devil, we lived in sin, and we promoted death. And so we also were at war with God. Therefore, Jesus came. We must celebrate this at Christmas and understand to conquer also all these things for us. To conquer the devil, sin, death, to set man free. And that's what we're celebrating, that Jesus came for war and that he is a man of war. I mean, take a look at his life. We sing all these lovely songs at Christmas time, don't we? Gentle Mary, later child, lowly in a manger. It came upon a midnight clear. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. How long did it lie still, though? I mean, as soon as he's born, shortly thereafter, Herod flies into a furious rage, and he orders soldiers to go and kill all the male children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the wise men. Herod also all of a sudden attacks because he doesn't want a rival king. And he is in the meantime inspired by the devil to do this, because the devil Satan knew that Jesus was the champion of heaven come to slay him. If only he can kill this child while it's yet a baby, maybe he could win the day before Jesus gets started. But Jesus escaped his hand. It was battle and war from the start. When Jesus grew into a man, he became a warrior king. We know that when he began his ministry, and he went out into the wilderness, remember, amongst those contending temptations of the devil, we hear that the devil took Jesus up to a great high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus answers him. He says, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. What is that but to take the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, it is written, and pierce the dragon. And he struck him 3 times till the devil fled from him, if you will, with his tail between his legs, until he could find another opportunity. Right after that, what happened? Jesus came out of the wilderness into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And he began to proclaim liberty to the captives and to cast out devils. This was mortal combat. He enters the synagogue and one man there with a demon inside of him says, ah, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus says, be silent and come out of him. And the devil threw him down, did him no harm, and came out of him. And everybody wondered, what is this word? For with authority and power he comes, and the unclean spirits come out. You see, this is battle, what we're looking at. This is war and combat. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 10, says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." What does this mean? It means he didn't come to keep the status quo or to just sort of smooth out the rough edges of the world, but to overturn the world from its evil and turn it back to God, such that two in a family who followed him would be against three in his family and the family who did not. It was war. And Jesus constantly faced off, as you know, against the Pharisees, Sadducees, and rulers of the Jews his entire life. And the whole time he brandished a glittering sword called the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And he spared no one to bring salvation. And at the end of his days on earth, we read that Judas procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and he led them to Christ with lanterns and torches and weapons. What is this but combat? They led him astray, led him away, that is, to arrest him, to murder him, to conquer him. But what do we read of Jesus? Jesus willingly ascended the mount of the cross of Calvary to win the victory for us through giving himself even to death for our sins. We read this. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood," that's us, "he himself," Jesus, "likewise partook of the same nature, was born like us, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. What is this but that he came to conquer and to set us free?" Jesus indeed came for war, and he disarmed the principalities, the powers, the demons in the heavenly places, and made a total spectacle of them publicly, triumphing over them through his cross. Rose on the third day, led a host of captives free to God, is at the right hand, ruling, subduing all of his enemies, and at the last day he comes again to deal the final death blow to all evil and to establish his kingdom on the earth. I ask you, what is this but war? So, do you know, I ask, Jesus is as much a man of peace as he is also a man of war. And we celebrate this at Christmas because that war is good and sets us free. As Moses said, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. His horse, the horse and his rider, he has thrown into the sea, Pharaoh's army. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." That's what Moses says of him. He is a what? Man of war. And Jeremiah says, "I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side. They're coming to get me. But the Lord was with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my enemies will stumble and fall, they will not overcome me." So, we need to understand who Jesus is and what we're celebrating at Christmas. We're celebrating his peace, and we're celebrating his mighty victory over our enemies. He is a man of peace and a man of war, the Prince of Peace and the Lord of War. And he came to set us free, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, come for battle. I want to ask you, is this how you see him? And why is this important for me to preach on today? Yes, I want us to understand Christmas and celebrate it rightly. Yes, I want us to understand the Lord and know him rightly. But thirdly, and most especially, this is important because, watch this, as he is, so also are you. Because we're being made over by God, the Spirit, into the image of Christ. Are you a man of peace, and also a man of war, a peacemaker and a warrior? You know, as Christians, we tend to think of ourselves as people of peace all the time, right? that's what our go-to thought. And so we're always thinking on peace, and we're peacemakers, and we're all about peace, and that's all wonderful. But you know what? If we forget that there were also warriors like our God, what will happen to us? How will we fare when we engage in battle? We're going to be destroyed, or at least not in a good way. We'll falter. So we need to remember, as the Lord is, so are you, a man of peace and a man of war. Now, when I was sailing years ago, as you've heard this kind of story many times, I was on a schooner in the Caribbean up to Massachusetts, sailing out of the Atlantic Ocean for like 4 months on this tall sailing ship, 125-foot schooner. I'm a kind of gentle guy. I'm a humble guy, I think, peaceful, jovial, kind of friendly. But if you go out onto the ocean with only being a man of peace, you're in big trouble. That's a hazardous place to be as only a man of peace. Okay, because the sea, and especially big gear on big ships like that, have the tendency to kill. Unless you go in also as a warrior, you're in a hazardous, perilous situation at the risk of your life. Now, I tend to be much more gravitating toward a person of peace and jovial and humble, and I did not go into that ship to begin like a warrior. I went in as a peaceful guy, but if it were not for the Lord's grace, the ship and the sea would have killed me on a couple of occasions. And I was kind of timid, I'll confess to you. Got my job done, but I was kind of timid about it. Until one night, there was a squall. And, you know, I got woken up out of sleep, and they said, all hands on deck, everybody get up here. Happened a lot, that kind of thing. I was throwing on my sea gear, because it was raining, and I looked up the ladder, and it was all black clouds, and the ship's crashing around, and we're up there to take care of some big heavy-duty stuff, big gear, big sails, big powers and forces. And I was kind of trepidatious looking up. But then the Lord gave me a vision of who I really am in Him. And He said, Greg, you are a warrior. You are a fighter. You are a champion. You are a man of war in me, a knight. You know, at that point, I knelt down like a knight would. I buckled on my sword, if you will, my knife and my marlin spike. I looked up, and He says, go get him, Greg. And I charged up on deck, ready to conquer the world. And I went into some tough things. I had to go out and take the sail in with the waves crashing across my chest here on the bowsprit and such things. But I did it strongly and with the heart of a fighter. And it was a much happier experience and safer. My point is, it's good, and I needed to be a man of peace on that ship. But I also needed to be a man of war. And it's the same thing for you and me as Christians. We can't go through life just as people of peace. We've got to go through as people of war, both at the same time. Because if you're a person of peace, that makes sure you're going after the right thing. But if you're a man of war, that means you have the power to attain it. You get it? Peace drives you in the right way. A warrior makes sure that you have the strength to obtain that which you seek. And so, as our Lord is, so also are you, a man of peace and a man of war. It is in your God-given DNA in baptism. So we must own it. Now, I believe this is important for us to understand today because we have been under attack. We have been under a delusion and a tactic of the enemy, Satan, who's continually been preaching to us Christians for years, you are a people of peace. You have nothing to do with war. Don't run to the battle line. Stand down. You are no warrior. This is his tactic. If you look at Hollywood and movies, they're constantly dissing war. It's all bad and evil. Now, I'll warrant you, a lot of human war is a mess and evil, but not our war. It's good, says our God, holy. And you should run to it with enthusiasm. Colleges and universities have been teaching courses on toxic masculinity. Have you heard of this one? Well, that's a real winner. Bringing people in to teach them everything of a male quality is bunk and poison. It's wrong to compete. It's wrong to stand off and face off against anything. It's wrong to call right and wrong as different and to strike down to wrong. That's what they're teaching. Boys to wear girls' dresses, as you've seen on some of the commercials if you watched at Halloween time. Trying to destroy the warrior spirit. Our culture teaches it's wrong to offend anyone's feelings. You have to affirm everyone's belief. And churches are most to blame because they've taught Christ is only a peaceful person. He has nothing to do with war, and that's just plain not true. Our Lord is a warrior. The music in churches used to be a mighty fortress is our God. And now, even though I like some of the modern songs, yet they've turned Jesus into a modern romantic lover rather than a warrior king in a lot of ways. What is this doing but trying to drive out of the heart of the Christian the spirit of a warrior so that you do not engage in the battle but rather succumb? But I'll tell you today, God has put into you a different spirit than that. He's put into you the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is to endure struggle, to have a never surrender attitude, to say, I'm in it, and I'm in it to win it, and to fight to the end, and to conquer evil. This is the spirit God's put into you. This spirit we see in Jesus at Christmas and through all his days, to stand toe to toe against the enemy, not bat an eyelash, and to strike down that which is evil, and to stand for what is good. This, I tell you, is who you are. Take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, says the Lord. Wage the good warfare with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand against the devil and he will flee from you. For in all things you're more than conquerors through him who loved you. And at the end you'll say, I fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith. Therefore there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. So, what do we fight for? Answer, for the right, for God, for Christ, for the weak, and ultimately for peace. We're fighters to obtain peace, just like Christ. You know, there's a movie, First Knight. You ever seen that one with King Arthur? Played by Sean Connery. Who could play a king better than Sean Connery? And at one point, there's an evil knight challenges Arthur and his kingdom, and Arthur answers him strongly, and the evil knight says to Arthur, you'll find there are words that will talk you out of peace into war, Arthur. And King Arthur, Sean Connery, responds, there's a peace to be found only on the other side of war. You know, that's the truth. There is a peace to be found only on the other side of war. And there's a peace that Christ found for us on the other side of his war, coming to conquer all evil at his cross and resurrection. What peace has he established for you on the other side of war? Peace with God. For Romans 5 says, therefore, since we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The warfare is over. You're friends with God through Christ. He conquered. You have the peace of a clear conscience. As Jesus said to the sinful woman, your sins are forgiven you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. You can live today with a clear, peaceful conscience through his conquering, shedding his blood. You have the peace now of a straight life in him, for he calls you to walk in the ways of wisdom, and all wisdom's ways are pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. You have peace now that God is ever with you in all of your life's battles to fight, to contend, to never surrender, to win, and to conquer, because the Lord be with you. God in Christ always leads us in triumph. And he says, be strong and of good courage. Don't be frightened or dismayed. For I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. Be strong, my people, and of good courage. And we know at the end of our fight, at his coming, we will have a peace that lasts forevermore. We fight, and there's a peace to be found only on the other side of a war. The peace we have is a peace of his kingdom, which we obtain holding fast to Christ to the end. Jesus says, he who conquers, I will grant him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He who conquers shall not be hurt by the second death. He who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as my I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. And God the Father says in Revelation 21, he who conquers shall have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And this is what it's going to be like. God says in Isaiah 33, your eyes will see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, an immovable tent. There, the Lord in majesty will be a place for you of broad rivers and quiet streams. There, the Lord will be your king, and he will save you. That is the peace to which we are striving as God's people, and you will conquer and get there by his Spirit within you. So, let's rejoice today, celebrate Christmas and all of its fullness, especially celebrate Jesus, who is both the man of peace and the man of war, and celebrate that you are made to be like him, to conquer as did he. And we rejoice in Jesus, who has conquered in the fight to bring us that peace that is found only on the other side of war, namely the peace of his kingdom and a peace that lasts into forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Did Jesus Come the First Time for Peace or War? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our souls. And God bless you.
Underneath the starry sky, a mother holds a child tonight. All is calm and all is bright. She sings to him a Gloria. I hear the angels singing Gloria. All of the heavens ringing Gloria. The Savior of the world is in her arms. She's staring at the face of God. Staring at the face of God.